Preface. What an odd thing it is to see an entire species, billions of people, playing with, listening to, meaningless tonal patterns, occupied and preoccupied for much of their time by what they call music. This, at least, was one of the things about human beings that puzzled the highly cerebral alien beings, the overlords, in Arthur C. Clarke's novel Childhood's End. Curiosity brings them down to the Earth's surface to attend a concert. They listen politely, and at the end congratulate the composer on his great ingenuity, while still finding the entire business unintelligible. They cannot think what goes on in human beings when they make or listen to music, because nothing goes on with them. They themselves, as a species, lack music. We may imagine the overlords ruminating further back in their spaceships. This thing called music, they would have to concede, is in some way efficacious to humans, central to human life. Yet it has no concepts, makes no propositions. It lacks images, symbols, the stuff of language. It has no power of representation. It has no necessary relation to the world. There are rare humans who, like the overlords, may lack the neural apparatus for appreciating tones or melodies. But for virtually all of us, music has great power, whether or not we seek it out or think of ourselves as particularly musical. This propensity to music shows itself in infancy, is manifest and central in every culture, and probably goes back to the very beginnings of our species. Such musicophilia is a given in human nature. It may be developed or shaped by the cultures we live in, by the circumstances of life, or by the particular gifts or weaknesses we have as individuals. But it lies so deep in human nature that one must think of it as innate, much as E. O. Wilson regards biophilia, a feeling for living things. Perhaps musicophilia is a form of biophilia, since music itself feels almost like a living thing. Given the obvious similarities between music and language, it is not surprising that there has been a running debate for more than 200 years as to whether they evolved in tandem or independently, and if the latter, which came first. Darwin speculated that musical tones and rhythms were used by our half-human ancestors during the season of courtship, when animals of all kinds are excited not only by love, but by strong passions of jealousy, rivalry, and triumph, and that speech arose, secondarily, from this primal music. His contemporary, Herbert Spencer, held the opposite view, conceiving that music arose from the cadences of emotional speech. Rousseau, a composer no less than a writer, felt that both had emerged together as a sing-song speech and only later diverged. William James saw music as an accidental genesis, a pure incident of having a hearing organ. Steven Pinker, in our own time, has expressed himself even more forcibly. What benefit could there be, he asks, echoing the overlords, to diverting time and energy to making plinking noises? As far as biological cause and effect are concerned, music is useless. It could vanish from our species, and the rest of our lifestyle would be virtually unchanged. There is, nonetheless, much evidence that humans have a music instinct, no less than a language instinct, however this evolved. We humans are a musical species no less than a linguistic one. This takes many different forms. All of us, with very few exceptions, can perceive music, perceive tones, timbre, pitch intervals, melodic contours, harmony, and, perhaps most elementally, rhythm. We integrate all of these and construct music in our minds, using many different parts of the brain. And to this largely unconscious structural appreciation of music is added an often intense and profound emotional reaction to music. The inexpressible depth of music, Schopenhauer wrote, so easy to understand, and yet so inexplicable, is due to the fact that it reproduces all the emotions of our innermost being, but entirely without reality and remote from its pain. Music expresses only the quintessence of life and of its events, never these themselves.